WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. The pilot of a Delta Connection flight from Minneapolis to Minot, North Dakota, told passengers he had to swerve to avoid colliding with a B-52 bomber.
For those of you on the right-hand side, you probably saw the airplane kind of sort of coming at us. Nobody told us about it.
There's an Air Force base nearby. SkyWest says it's investigating. Severe storms swept the East and Midwest over the weekend. CBS's Rob Marciano.
In the Midwest, hail up to the size of softballs battering this storm-chasered windshield in Nebraska. And this funnel cloud spotted in Indiana as more severe storms threaten the Ohio Valley.
A 102-year-old D-Day survivor and TikTok star who regaled young people with his war stories has died.
I'm just a country boy. If it weren't for TikTok, I would not be reaching any of these people.
His granddaughter says Papa Jake Larson died peacefully, cracking jokes until the very end. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
WAUK News brought to you by the Summer Splash Dog Show at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to July 27th. Fun for the whole family. WaukeshaSummerSplash.com.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. It's now our recurring story. Hazy skies from Canadian wildfires and high heat. Cooling centers could be opening midweek with highs in the 90s and heat index values over 100. Now through then, smoke from Canadian wildfires will drift into southeastern Wisconsin. Meteorologists say a cold front could bring relief late in the day Thursday, but you should expect high humidity and limited winds until then. We'll have the latest coming up in the forecast. If you ride MCTS, you could be in for some issues. Milwaukee County transit workers have until July 31st to reach a new labor deal, or there could be a strike. On Friday, a proposed one-year contract was voted down by union members. The length of a contract is at issue, along with concerns like security, overtime, and wages. There are more than 180,000 lawsuits filed across the country, including Wisconsin, claiming the weed killer Roundup causes cancer. However, lawmakers in several states are considering bills to protect the product from any liability. Terry Barr has more.
Two states signed a law this month to shield Bayer, that's the owner of Roundup, from being sued. A similar bill is being discussed in six other states, while Wisconsin legislators haven't yet made a move. It's why one state farmer is speaking out now. Hans Breitenmoser of Lincoln County believes Bayer's lobbying is part of a growing problem, the use of corporate money to influence state agriculture policy.
This issue has, in my estimation, as much to do with big companies being able to write the rules to keep themselves protected as it does with this particular herbicide.
Breitenmoser would like to see truth in labeling with a warning about potential health issues on Roundup packaging. More than 90% of the corn and soybean crops in the state are still treated with some type of a weed killer.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
A 10-game winning streak. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opening a series tonight against the Mariners in Seattle, trying to keep a 10-game winning streak alive. Milwaukee beat the Dodgers in L.A. yesterday, 6-5, to move into a tie with the Cubs for first place in their division. The Brewers doing it with a roster of no-name players, according to Pat Murphy.
Monasterio stepping up, getting a huge two-out hit, RBI, Perkins. Perkins literally didn't have spring training. And what can you say about Collins? Collins, Vaughn, and Durbin have given us such a lift, but Collins has been the silent hero. He's played great defense, gotten big hits, hitting fourth in the lineup. The kid wasn't going to make the team in spring training unless there was a huge injury, and there was two of them, but he wasn't making the team. He's hitting fourth in our lineup. Vaughn was in AAA last week and couldn't break the lineup on a last place team. So, you know, we're just really fortunate that these guys are gelling and coming together and just, you know, playing hungry.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 75 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop to 66 for a low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Bring the whole family to the Waukesha Kennel Club Summer Splash Dog Shows at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to 27th. Enjoy exciting events like dock diving, fast cat racing, obedience, and the thrilling best of show competition. It's fun for all ages. Check out the vendors and find the best pet supplies for your furry friends. It's the perfect weekend for dog lovers and families alike. Sponsored by Royal Canin at 540 AM WAUK. Visit WaukeshaSummerSplash.com for all the details.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I welcome director-producer John Roach at Max Inc. Radio's Rocker joins me in studio for some Atwood Fest chat. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:06 on a Monday morning, July 21st, 2025. Nice to have you here up north and statewide. Parker Olson is our producer down to Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by at the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is hanging around as co-host for this fine Monday morning. And Parker, let's give the guys in Madison a proper introduction.
Civic Media Now proudly present. Proudly? Proudly. Seriously, that's a stretch. How about, here they are, John and Gordy. Let's go with that, shall we?
Probably. Yeah, let's go with that.
Who writes this crap?
That's Catherine Lake, yeah, our program station manager.
That would be Catherine. Yep, yeah, giving you just the her, giving it her all on an introduction. Yeah. So, thanks for that, Catherine. Guys, how are you?
Doing good, okay for a Monday. Yeah. How are you, Pat?
We're good here. Well, we're ensconced in our usual weekday morning home, whereas Brittany's out there in the elements. Which makes sense because she's a meteorologist, but she's out in the elements of the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. So rain or shine, she's one happy camper, quite literally, aren't you?
I really am. Woo! Camping out here all week long, like you said, through all the storms and anything that's coming my way. This morning, overnight, it was pretty crisp. It was chilly out there. Temperatures right now, 54 to 68 degrees across the state. We're going to stay refreshed today. Nice and comfortable. Low 70s to low 80s. Statewide, no big humidity or mugginess really pushing in, but the wildfire smoke is here, so a hazy sunshine and also a few clouds scattered out there as well. So a little breezy this morning. The heat will start to crank up a little bit tomorrow, and we are looking at active weather this week too, so chances for some showers and maybe a small thunderstorm far northwest in the state this afternoon. Those could work their way towards central areas late tonight. And then some more tomorrow morning, mainly down south. We're looking at storms rolling through tomorrow morning. Gone by midday, heat starts to crank up. And let me tell you, more storms Tuesday night and into our Wednesday morning. And after that, that's when it's going to be in the 90s with the humidity right up there as well, feeling very, very oppressive. So you're going to see me dripping sweat out here because I don't have AC. I don't have those luxuries. So we're going to be really living it this week.
It sure sounds like it. I mean, but... You're prepared for this. This is nothing you haven't seen before.
No.
You know?
Not at all. I've got the tent waterproof, staked down. I got the tarp underneath. I've got a fan, solar fan. I've even got solar charging devices, too. So a lot of different things working with the sun here.
What would be the biggest treat for you at Air Venture to be, you know, invited to do? Would it be to go up for a ride on the blimp, one of the military jets?
Fighter jet. for sure. Right. That okay. would be crazy. That is on my bucket list. Still never gotten to do that. Sometimes they pick media to go. I've never been the lucky duck yet, so fingers crossed.
Mine would be getting an all-you-can-eat arm wristband to wear to go through all the food booths. That's because it's on the ground. I can do all that. Well, we got the guys here, John, Gordy. You guys, air venture enthusiasts, and or any requests to make of Brittany while she's out there?
Well, I would love to go to the EAA sometime. I've never been there, but it sounds like a wonderful event. And it goes on all week, right? Right through
yes,
Friday, Saturday?
Yes, it does. Yeah. All week long. And the really cool thing is if you want to avoid a lot of the people, you come during the week, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Monday through Wednesday. And then it kind of repeats. I mean, there's definitely different things every single day, but they kind of try to repeat the show again. So then Thursday through Saturday is kind of a repeat of that. But Wednesday and Saturday are my personal favorites because they have the night air show. So that is fireworks on top of planes flying. The planes are shooting off fireworks. And then there's explosives on the ground and just stuff you've never seen in the drone lights, too. And it is a show, let me tell you.
Sounds like a war zone.
It does, doesn't it?
They actually act that out, too. When they have the military, they'll do like a military. This is what's happening. People dropping from helicopters, little bombs going off.
Like a reenactment. Okay.
Yes. I've never seen anything like that, but here.
To what degree, because I didn't really look, but it also didn't stick out, are drones a part of this? Is it pretty much just, you know, aircraft that you can fly and that people fly as opposed to things that are unmanned?
Oh, they'll definitely have drones here, too. So anything that has to do with off the ground, they've got it here. So, yeah, drones are a part of it. They've even got, like, cool GPS things for airplanes, too. I mean, tech side is really big, plus the aviation.
So anything defying gravity, which means the cast of Wicked will be there as well for a big sing-along. So stick around for that. Brittany, thank you so much for the weather update. Have lots of fun. Are you going to try to check in tomorrow?
Absolutely. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Have fun. Great to Thanks. See you. Before we talk more with Kristen and John and Gordy, a reminder, you can sign up for our newsletter at Up North News. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Of course, we've got notes in there today about the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. Learn more about how the community comes together and all of the volunteers who make things work. Also, an article about American Family Field as the second half of the baseball season is underway now. Some of the best eats at AmFam Field this season. Also, there is a link to my article from our website. It's what's not in the state budget that is generating both anger and 2026 candidates. And all that and more in our newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. So, gang, I've got, you know, when they say a service person will be there to work on your cable or your appliances or whatever, and it said, you know, they'll be there between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even a three-hour window now. It's 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So Kristen probably noticed that I was kind of distracted over here as somebody was walking. 7:55, they're ready to go. Going, okay, let's take a look at that dishwasher, see what the problem is here. So
it's nice when you're the first on the list.
I know. Well, it turns out he lives in Chippewa. So I was expecting somebody from the Twin Cities who was going to get here at like 4:59, you know, and say, oh no, that still counts. So that's how my week is getting off to a good start. You guys have a good weekend in Madison?
Well, kind of.
Yeah, it was kind of busy here. We had a Coldplay concert at Camp Randall Stadium.
Did you guys go? Were you guys cuddled up with each other before the Jumbotron
picture? Oh, that's so cute. You can do it now.
Well, yes. Yeah. But,
yes, that's what we did.
Okay.
Now, I understand that Coldplay, I guess the concert was great because the weather
was
wonderful.
Yes, I've heard a lot of great things.
And everything went well, but they warned people. Chris Martin warned everybody that, you know, the video is on, you know, we've got cameras here and just warning people, you know, they could be on camera. So I guess that's part of their show now.
If you're with somebody you shouldn't be with, you don't want to be on camera.
Yeah.
It's part of everybody's show now. The Philadelphia Phillies did a whole takeoff on it. I mean, everybody's doing
it. A lot of sports teams, over the weekend had a little bit of fun with the Kiss Cam. Look, the Kiss Cam was always fraught with peril, okay? I mean, there have been other instances. There was a time recently when somebody was, like, ready, had the sign to hold up immediately to point at the woman next to him. This is my sister, you know, so he knew that the Kiss Cam was a possibility.
I like that. That was good.
So,
that original video has been seen more than 40 million times, at least over the weekend. That's the number I heard. Wow.
The guy's girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the concert at Camp Randall was the first one in a long time. I mean, Camp Randall seems like a natural place as a concert venue, but it does not have a long record as one. Have you been to any concerts earlier than that at Camp Randall or other special
events?
Did
you go to Pink Floyd?
Well, I went to Pink Floyd.
Yeah. That was more, that was 30 years ago.
But they had a lot of concerts, I think, held there.
But I saw the Rolling Stones there.
Yes, yeah, really? They had them too.
Mm-hmm. Now, before Coldplay was there on Saturday, Morgan Wallen, a country singer, there.
Yes.
He was there 2 or 3 weeks ago for a Friday and Saturday night, a double, a double date.
That was
there.
Country and no one noticed.
Well, there were a lot of cowboy hats. And,
yeah.
I don't know about that. When did you see the Rolling Stones, Kristen?
Must have been late 90s.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. And it was a good show?
Yeah, it was a great show.
Okay. All right.
I saw the Stones at County Stadium in the 60s.
Yeah. Mm. Wow, really?
Yeah.
At County Stadium?
I think maybe early 70s. Yeah, early 70s. That's when it was.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was living in St. Paul in 1976, and the Rolling Stones were performing at the St. Paul Civic Center. And we did not live too far from there, and we were just driving one evening, I don't know, to go to grandma's house or something. I don't know what, because we were 12 years old at the time. I just remember seeing that out in the streets, like, you know, there was all this rowdy behavior going on. Come to find out the next day, they basically classified it as like a mini riot as all these Stones fans came out of this. It was the mid-70s. It's what you did. You rioted after a concert, right? I mean,
well,
it was in the rule book.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, we slept overnight in front of the County Stadium doors.
Did you really
get in? Yes. Wow. Believe it or not. What a dumb thing to do.
Didn't we find out that we both were at a Stones concert at Alpine Valley?
Yes, Alpine Valley. Yeah.
Around 1992, 93, somewhere in there, Steel Wheels tour.
Yes.
And it rained. But it was still a great
rained,
show.
You know?
Yeah. Well,
Alpine Valley.
Here I get to share the Alpine Valley story that I don't think I've shared on air before. Amazingly, this thumb is still attached as a result of it. It was a Jimmy Buffett concert, so margaritas may have been a factor. But at one point after the concert, you know, it takes forever to get out of Alpine Valley.
Yes.
And we could see that. We thought, well, you know what? We're just going to keep tailgating here in the parking lot until traffic goes down a bit. It'll be fine. And somebody decided to get up on his family minivan and stand up there and take in the crowd and take in the music and all that. And that was all fine. No big deal. Other people were doing that as well. It was a fun night. And I go to get off the top of the family minivan, which had one of those luggage racks. My thumb along the luggage rack while doing what I thought was a perfect Kerry Strug dismount. It turned out that I had sliced my thumb rather severely. And my wife, a doctor, says that's going to need stitches. And my response was, that doesn't need stitches. It just needs another margarita. And I dipped my cup in the bucket of margarita and imbibed and... we finally got out of there. You know, I kept pressure on it and everything. And finally, just as we're coming toward Madison on our way back to Chippewa Falls, I say to my wife rather groggily from the passenger seat, you know, if you want to stop at an ER, you know, if it'll make you feel better, we can do that. So she did.
Aww,
and of course,
how thoughtful of you.
Yes. The admitting clerk was like, you know, how did you do this? And I, of course, like, well, I closed the car door on it, you know.
Yeah.
And the look that she gave my wife and the wife gave her, because one thing it did not look like was a crush injury at all. But that was my story, and I was sticking to it.
How many stitches?
I don't remember how much it was, like six or something like that. So, you know, as soon as Sherry saw that the ligament hadn't been, I wasn't going to lose the thumb, but I was going to gain a scar and a reason to embarrass myself on statewide radio someday at the right moment. And it's the right moment, thanks to you people and telling me about Alpine Valley concerts.
You're kind of glossing over the fact that there was a lot of blood.
There was a lot of blood.
I would assume that there was a lot of blood.
There was. There was a lot of, and thinking, just enough pressure will do it. And as the person here who went to medical school can attest, there are sometimes when putting pressure on is just not enough.
I'm just shaking my head up here in my Brady Bunch corner, Pat.
Kristen doesn't have any embarrassing stories at all that she's not willing to share. Some of you are going to be taking off for a local update. For the rest of you, we'll be continuing this conversation where I let John and Gordy get a word in edgewise. And then when we're all back together in the next half hour, we're going to be talking a bit about toxic masculinity. Nothing that infects this show or John and Gordy's by any stretch of the imagination, but it is a thing, and it's being encouraged by the MAGA groomers, one could say, and the MAHA ones, who are taking anti-feminism to a new level with a new generation of vulnerable young women. That's all coming up on these mornings, powered by Up North News, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. People who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs stands ready to serve Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our partners, like your local county veteran service officer, we can help access the benefits you've earned and the support you need. For more information, please visit WISVETS.com. That's WISVETS.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. If you're a regular listener to the shows here on Civic Media, you're going to know that one of the things we have talked about on many occasions is reckless driving, specifically in the city of Milwaukee. We've had many guests on our shows to talk about fixes, to talk about initiatives, policies, because we can all agree that something needs to be done about this. And Maggie Dawn spoke to Jeremy Janine, who's discussing the Vision Zero Initiative, an ambitious plan to eliminate traffic fatalities through strategic urban redesign and policy reform in Milwaukee.
And we've got an interesting initiative that the city of Milwaukee has been working on for a bit. It's called Vision Zero, and that is to eliminate all traffic deaths within the city of Milwaukee. I particularly like this because it places the city in an affirmative policy posture. In other words, here's this place that we want to get to. Here is our goal. Instead of always being in this responsive, oh gosh, we have to stop the reckless driving, it sets out an ambitious, audacious goal for us to get to as a city. Again, not just trying to eliminate the harms, but trying to establish a positive direction. We've got Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee, the founder and one of the journalists there. Welcome back to the show, Jeremy, and happy belated 4th of July. To you.
To you as well. Thanks for having me.
Tell us more about Vision Zero. When did this come about? How are they going about trying to achieve this? Quite audacious goal.
Yeah, it sounds ridiculous on its face, but there's even one U.S. city that has achieved it. It's an idea from the 1990s that originated in Sweden, and it takes a holistic approach at eliminating traffic tests. The acknowledgement that crashes are going to happen, but they don't have to be severe and they don't have to be fatal. And that includes not just people in vehicles, but pedestrians, bicyclists, everyone that could be around the road and using a road, that they should be safe. And the U.S. city that did achieve this is Hoboken, New Jersey, which is obviously a little bit of an outlier because it's a smaller city. It's only a couple square miles. Milwaukee is much larger, but they did it in a systematic fashion that Milwaukee is trying to do as well. And traditionally, when you think of preventing or increasing road safety, you think of three things: engineering, enforcement, and education. So enforcement, something we can all identify, putting more police officers out there or targeting certain reckless driving, that kind of thing. Engineering, the way Milwaukee's rebuilding streets. And there's a reason to think engineering could have big results. And one of the stats when the city put together its Vision Zero plan is 59% of serious crashes, so more than half of them, occur on 9% of the city's streets. So you don't need to re-engineer every street. And then the last thing, education, doing things like just raising awareness in high school of proper practices, and even doing the logical, simple thing like teaching driver's ed to as many people as possible. So doing all those things in concert and then tracking your progress. Unfortunately, since I published this article, Milwaukee has recorded 2 more traffic deaths. It's now up to 23 on the year. So a long way to go, but it is down 7% from last year.
That is good news, bad news. And this is quite a challenge for a city like Milwaukee. But this is also one of those, again, holistic public policy approaches, trying to take a targeted approach using data and this kind of analysis to identify, hey, these are our tier one areas where we see the most fatalities. We don't have to do the same thing in all places because it won't have equal impact. This is the kind of thing that as a number cruncher, as a data wonk myself, I wish we saw more of this from policymakers. What has the public's reaction to this been so far? What are some of these improvements to the streets, these high risk, high fatality streets that the city has been making?
There's a lot of different things happening. You saw some really quick fixes. If you go down Capitol Drive in Milwaukee, you can see these curb bump outs that just prevent the most reckless passing in the parking lane. But also every time the city reconstructs the street, it redesigns it now in a safer way. So not only are you eliminating potholes, but you're just right-sizing lanes. We have a lot of streets in the city of Milwaukee, and you can see these across Wisconsin, that are way wider than they need to be. We had more people driving not on the interstates in the 1960s than we do today. So yes, a lot of opportunity to redesign streets. The city of Milwaukee also has a traffic safety unit within the Milwaukee Police Department, so focused on targeted offenses. And then there's advocacy at the state level, and we've talked about this in the past, on being able to impound the vehicles of reckless drivers. What's the reception to that? People favor some components of it. They're a bit more concerned with, oh, I can't drive as fast as I want. But the key thing to know is speed can kill.
This is the trick here, and it's interesting to me. I'm going to draw a very, very rough analogy. When people say they want bipartisanship and compromise and then complain when they get it, well, I want safer streets and people to slow down, but wait, I can't zip by in the parking lane, and when I'm going to work, boy, I don't like that. Folks, you have to be able, again, these are collective, we're creating community goods by these kinds of programs and policy changes. And yeah, it's going to require behavior modification for all of us, right? Like, that's part of what this process is, and thinking, hey, I might need to leave a little bit earlier. And I'll just say this, I was an incredibly responsible kid, got really good grades, did all the sports, but I was an incredibly irresponsible driver. I drove way too fast. I got 2 speeding tickets inside of a month when I was graduating from high school. My parents were super pleased with that. I was painting houses that summer to pay for that, and the insurance increases, believe you me. Listen, thanks so much, Jeremy. It's always a pleasure to have you. That's Jeremy Janine, the founder and creator of Urban Milwaukee, an online newspaper. Check out their work.
If you live in southeastern Wisconsin and want to know more about what's going on, Maggie Dawn speaks to Jeremy every single week, so you can always catch that interview by tuning into her show. She's on Monday through Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on the Civic Media Network. You can also catch up anytime you want by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Find the Maggie Dawn Show, download the episodes you're looking for, and listen to them whenever you want, wherever you want. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 8:29.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Waukesha County Detective Joseph Mensa is leaving law enforcement. In a letter released over the weekend, he says he's formally resigning from the police force effective July 31st, citing personal reasons. Mensa thanked his department for supporting him. Before joining Waukesha County in 2021, Mensa served in Wauwatosa, where he was cleared in three high-profile shootings. The man accused of fatally shooting Milwaukee police officer Kendall Corder and injuring his partner pleaded not guilty in court Friday. Prosecutors alleged Tremaine Jones ambushed the officers during a call about shots fired and left evidence, including his ID, at the scene. Officer Christopher McCray, still recovering from gunshot wounds, attended the hearing. Jones remains locked up on a $500,000 bond. One of the women who stabbed a friend nearly to death as children to please the fictional character Slenderman will be released. Savannah Tomey Olson has the latest.
Anissa Weyer and Morgan Geiser nearly killed their friend in 2014. All three of them were 12 years old. The two responsible pleaded guilty and were found by the court to be not guilty due to mental disease or defect. Anissa Weyer, who did not stab the victim, was released from a mental hospital in 2021. She lives with her father and wears a GPS monitor. Now Morgan Geiser, the one who actually stabbed the victim, will be released as well. She's been at the Winnebago Mental Health Institute for 7 years now. She's now 22. Experts said in sworn testimony she's made progress in her mental illness. Yesterday in court, her release plan was approved by a judge, although the details were not shared publicly.
Cooling centers could be opening midweek with highs in the 90s and heat index values over 100. Now through then, smoke from Canadian wildfires will drift into southeastern Wisconsin. We'll have the latest coming up in the forecast. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, the Kiss Cam couple is still reeling from the traumatic outing at a Coldplay concert last week. According to TMZ, Coldplay frontman Chris Martin is mortified that the couple were exposed thanks to him. Astronomer CEO Andy Byron was seen canoodling with the head of his HR department, Kristen Cabot. They probably figured it was safe going into a crowd of 65,000 people to check out Coldplay. Coldplay's record-breaking Music of the Spheres tour that actually started back in 2022, when Byron and Cabot were probably still just flirting. Many think Byron will resign or be forced out of his position, and as for Cabot, if she remains in HR, she'll have to get used to people laughing when they're called into her office to be scolded. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 75 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop to 66 for a low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time after a massage, a chiropractor appointment, and some sleep. We'll be back with regular programming from Madison on Monday. Join us then.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
In the morning on this Monday morning, July 21st, 2025. Pat Kreitlow here, Parker Olson producing in Madison, Dr. Kristen Lyerly with us as well. And let me start this segment talking about a couple of programs that come through Up North News' parent company, Courier Newsroom. We've talked a couple of times about the video series, How Is This Better with Akilah Hughes? And I wanted to spend a little extra time on her last two episodes. How Is This Better challenges the grifters out there, the ones controlling our government and our attention and so much of our daily lives. And this week, Akilah Hughes explores the dangerous online pipelines that lure men seeking harmless advice into radical ideologies. The episode delves into the manipulative tactics used by figures like Andrew Tate and Joe Rogan to push hyper-masculine agendas, and highlights the detrimental effects of these ideologies on mental health, relationships, and societal norms. Let's hear a little 90-second clip from Akilah Hughes' program this week, How Is This Better?
To be the alpha, to be attractive, the best thing you can do is to wear your Trump support on your sleeve. Show that you are a real man. Show that you...
Women pretend what they want is the beta, but what they actually want is the alpha.
There's this weird line that's blurred in the manosphere space where you can't tell when somebody's doing a bit or when somebody's being genuine.
And I have to tell you, it took a lot for me to write this episode. The problems with men who've been sucked into these pipelines online are so vast and endless, it's almost impossible to tell the story in full with adequate levels of pity, empathy, and outrage at just how extreme all of this has become. Still, if you've spent any time online in the past decade, you've seen the momentum growing in the manosphere, telling men and vulnerable little boys that they too can have it all, and their idea of it all means silent, baby-making wife mommies and making more money than God by being more efficient than computers. It's a fool's errand and total farce, but if you have the time, and in many cases money, to become isolated and undesirable to everyone around you, you're the perfect mark in this ongoing con. I'm Akilah Hughes, and this week, I'm looking at the dangerous online pipeline directed at men who were simply looking for health advice or gaming clips, and how the smallest amount of curiosity can lead to frankly deadly results, and asking, how is this better?
Now, last week, the shoe was on the other foot as Akilah highlighted a new flavor of conservative content targeting women online, the rise of the trad wife aesthetic, the MAHA, Make America Healthy Again movement, and how a wellness pipeline is pulling women to the political right, from TikTok videos to wellness-themed women's conferences, from Turning Point, perhaps America's best-known far-right supplier of extremism, and getting vulnerable women to embrace outdated anti-feminist tropes. You can watch both of those episodes of the series How Is This Better? On YouTube. You can also watch or listen on Spotify, or you can listen on Apple. You can also watch it right from the Courier website. Go to couriernewsroom.com to learn more. And so, Kristen, we've talked previously on the show, but I wanted to spend a little bit of extra time on this whole notion of how the far right, the people who love to scream about groomers the most, that really is a sense of projection. When you look at who's doing the real grooming toward unhealthy lifestyles, it's happening right there on the American far right.
It is, with some of the most vulnerable people in society, and they don't even realize that it's happening because it's so insidious, and it reinforces some of our greatest fears and the things that we are worried about for our futures. But just because it's happening doesn't mean that we don't have the tools to combat it. And those tools are the same thing that we use every day. It's conversation. It's listening to each other. It's actually confronting some of these flawed assumptions and meeting it with reality and understanding and trust and, frankly, love.
And let's understand that a lot of this push toward, you know, traditionalism, you know, where the man is the alpha and the woman stays at home and has babies and all that. Let's acknowledge that there is reason for that to catch on. Mm-hmm. The frustrations of daily life, the failings of, you know, this stage of capitalism. So there is fertile ground for the far right, you know, to fertilize, if you will. And it just makes it all the more important for those conversations is to acknowledge there's confusion, acknowledge there's angst, acknowledge people have questions about, you know, their health and their lifestyle. And again, if we're not willing to have those conversations with these folks, somebody else will.
It's true. There's always some truth to these movements. That is the base of it. But it's when you take that little grain of truth and then you funnel people into a place where you don't give them the full picture of what's happening, but just that isolated idea of what you want them to believe. And for me, as an OBGYN doctor who believes that people have the ability to make their own healthcare decisions for themselves within the context of their own lives, you need to know what all of your options are, not just the ones that a certain movement want you to have.
Yeah. It certainly has occurred to me many times over the years is, you know, how does this get to be a thing? Because again, I was raised by a single mom, you know, the oldest of four kids. There was no room for toxic masculinity anywhere in there. And so when you see it, and I of course have seen a lot of it over time, it's very tough sometimes to still feel like, how does that stick? How does talking down to women, for example, you know, how does that stick with folks? But, you know, this is what they have been exposed to. And you as an OBGYN, my wife Sherry is an OBGYN, you've seen some dads to be come in there who are just the most wonderful guys. And you see these others come in, and you don't have to acknowledge thinking this. I'll tell you, somebody else I know thinks it. It's like, who had sex with you so that you could reproduce? Because you might be creating another you, and you're a slime ball.
Don't you think that so much of this stuff is stuff that we see in the predominant culture? Like, I think of when I was a kid, and that this was what my dad believed. My mom had a job before she got married and decided to stay home and be a stay-at-home mom. But for my dad in the 70s, it was prestigious to have a wife who was home. And that was important to him. But it didn't actually work for them. He wasn't able to make enough money. She wasn't able to get all the things done. You have to have, in a healthy relationship, give and take. And that means that our gender roles aren't as clearly defined as the MAHA and the toxic masculinity movements would have us believe.
Right. And so let's turn to the women for a moment here, because again, it a lot of times takes two to tango, and you have, again, the term nowadays is trad wife, you know, traditional wife. And again, these videos that are pulling women saying, you know, look at how hard, you know, these women, look, I would not want my daughters to be like, say, the Kardashians. I wouldn't. But I also, the alternative to that isn't to, well, not have a job if you actually want a career, if you want to work. You know, you should have those kinds of opportunities. But you can see for other women, they've been told that that's, you know, that's a wrong path. That's a turnout. And you too, like other docs, you've seen people come in who are a little too docile, you know, compliant, whatever the case may be. And you kind of want to say to them, you know, blink twice if you're a hostage.
Yeah. I mean, being a stay-at-home mom, being part of the MAHA movement, like that is not, it's not inherently bad if that's something that you want and yes. is meaningful to you, that's great. Do it in an informed way, just like everything else in life. Know what all of your options are so that you can make those appropriate choices for yourself. But, you know, Pat, we haven't talked about how things that are happening now in society are reinforcing that. Like, if you can't get childcare, which is happening all over Wisconsin, and we know it's going to get much worse in the future, then you don't have an option. Somebody has to stay home. So that really takes away your ability to do something other than be part of what is that growing MAHA type movement.
It comes back to, I don't want to lose my train of thought here, but of course there it went. and it's always tough to have that happen on live radio, but it was about, oh, here it is.
Look, I saw you wandering as you were looking at this.
It came right back. It eventually was just doing it was in a holding pattern over Oshkosh someplace. And it came back. It was about the childcare and some of the comments that I was seeing online, again, coming from your troll area going, you know, well, I don't know why we have to pay these people to be such babysitters. And Corrine Hendrickson, much to her credit, got right in there in the comment section and said, why don't you explain what you mean by babysitter? Why don't you explain? She listed all the expenses that she incurs to be, you know, a good professional childcare provider and say, which of those things would you cut out of your child's life? Mm-hmm. And I know that there's that talking point of, oh, we didn't need organized daycare before.
No, we did.
You did. You just didn't get it. And our society's grown to a point that embraces early childhood education so that, you know, our kids are informed citizens and not dullards and who have, you know, manners and literacy and all of that. And you still have people going, well, I was plopped in front of a TV and I turned out fine.
That was when we had PBS.
Yeah, right. Yeah, at least you had PBS to be plopped in front of. Although the answer is more like, no, you didn't. If you were just plopped in front of a TV, you probably didn't turn out just fine. Unless, again, yeah, you had some more informative programming out there. But, I mean, this is just one aspect of it, the whole notion of affordable childcare. But also, there's something to be said about sex education. And, again, empowerment for young people comes with knowledge rather than guessing or finding things on TikTok videos instead. So you do need affordable education. You do need affordable childcare. You do need good healthcare so that you're not like just searching on the interwebs for anything that you can find. All of these pieces come into place. And if you don't, if you fight against them in the name of, you know, you got to keep my taxes low, you know, you're going to get what you pay for.
Can I just bring this back to healthcare like I always do? Yes. It is so frustrating to me that people cannot afford healthcare, so they look on TikTok, because who can blame you? You need answers. Something is wrong with you. You need to figure out how to fix it. So you go to the place where you can access information. But TikTok is regular people just like sharing opinions as facts. Or sometimes it's Secretary Kennedy sharing disinformation that people believe and are basing their healthcare decisions on. And sometimes those healthcare decisions end up costing them their lives or setting them on a path that determines the rest of their lives that they didn't want because they didn't know what all of their options are. So if we had access to quality, affordable healthcare, if we could go see a healthcare practitioner to get our questions answered and to get the therapies and the treatments that we need for our physical and mental health, we wouldn't be living in this dystopian society that we've created.
Yeah, but we do. And you think if one of the lessons we would have learned from the pandemic was the heartbreaking tales of people who were dying right before dying of COVID, were saying to the doctors and nurses, why won't you tell me what's really wrong with me?
Yes.
Because they, on their deathbed, would not believe that COVID was real because of the conspiracies that they were taught. So, Folks, we can do this better. And you can start by watching How Is This Better on YouTube or listening on Spotify or checking out the Courier Newsroom website, couriernewsroom.com, and catch How Is This Better with Akilah Hughes. In my monitor out the corner of my eye, I see that Jane Matinere is back, which is good because I didn't know on the road trip, you know, they were doing Butternut and Hayward, and I didn't know if they'd ever come back from up north. It's God's country up there, you know.
It is beautiful.
Yep, but they've made it back. So we'll find out from Jane Matinere what's coming up on her program, which follows this one here weekdays across the Civic Media Radio Network.
local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Wisconsin Elections Commission issued a highly critical report of the City of Madison's former clerk after investigating how 193 mail-in ballots were left uncounted after the 2024 general election. The clerk was suspended by the city, then subsequently resigned. November 12th, a staff member alerted City Clerk Mary Beth Witzel Bell that a sealed ballot courier bag had been found, but Witzel Bell allegedly gave the staff no instructions to open or otherwise investigate, did not alert state or county officials, and went on vacation the next day. Just before Thanksgiving, unaware that an unopened bag had been found, an elections inspector reported a discrepancy in wards 56 and 65. December 2nd, inspectors found another unopened courier bag containing 125 uncounted ballots. The 400-page report found several leadership and procedural failures. It concluded, quote, "Rather than acknowledge these significant errors, the city clerk and her staff either ignored the issue or willfully refused to inform the necessary parties and seek assistance. These actions resulted in nearly 200 lawful voters' votes going uncounted, an unconscionable result," unquote. The report orders the City of Madison to complete several procedural reforms before the next statewide election in February 2026. We've linked to the full report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Matt Nair on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic. Kaylee High from Staley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this breed, is breed. Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Aren't
yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a post-menopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, as Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. If you've lived in or around the city of Milwaukee, you will be quite aware about the idea of the people's flag. It was a controversial thing that took place a few years ago. There was a hearing, there was a vote, and then a flag sort of became the flag of Milwaukee. But I'm here to tell you that the controversy has not died down, it's not gone away, and it's certainly not been solved, as the city has not only taken up the effort again to replace its existing flag, but now it feels like it's an increased effort, which prompted Jane and I to ask the question, is this a pressing matter for Bruce City?
I did want to talk about this. This came out a couple of weeks ago, but it still makes me laugh. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Sophie Teige, with the article, "The Saga of Milwaukee's Official Flag."
Oh, God.
Could be entering its final chapter. This has been the longest, most drawn out thing of little to no consequence in recent history, right?
It is such... to tell the whole story would take way too much time. It is so... I think it's embarrassing.
That they can't get it done?
Well, not even that. That the fact that this even happened in the first place, because it was so mishandled from the beginning. And
mishandled because they didn't get enough opinions? Or well, how they, was it mishandled?
They, well, one thing, they didn't get enough opinions.
Okay.
And there was no, like, real movement to actually change it. They were like, we're going to try to get some new flag designs. And like, well, are we changing the flag? Couldn't. Like, this was not a well-thought-out plan from the jump. The fact that this is still happening, and I'm sorry, I don't like the quote-unquote people's flag.
You don't like the sunrise over the lake?
I like the design, but I don't like everything behind it, because I think it really just shows a sense of, I don't know, like, it, the amount of people they asked to vote for this was a very, very small percentage. It wasn't even, I think, 1% of the population. Or it was, I think it was 1% plus of the population Milwaukee voted on this. Okay. And the people who fly the flag, to me, it just feels like it's a thing of, like, this is our flag. Well, no, it's not. You didn't. This is not a flag of the people. It's not even the people's flag. It's your flag. You chose it. And now you think you're, now the city is awash in this image. Like, Anyone who's everyone has some form of this flag, some variation on that theme. And I think it just speaks deeply to what Milwaukee's trying to make themselves into eventually. Being cool and hip.
Well, who doesn't want to be cool and hip?
But then you invite, and then you invite all the people. You make the process inclusive.
Well, it's inclusive now. There's like 400 people on this board. Okay, that might slightly be overstating that, but this has been going on since 2001.
Oh, wow.
The Common Council wanted to amend the city's original flag design. Nothing happened until 2016. The people's flag was entered in a design contest and ultimately won, but it was not made official. Mm-hmm. In 2018, the Common Council and the Milwaukee Arts Board worked together to come up with a new flag. But it was determined it was not inclusive enough. So, again, we're still working on it. People's flag. The task force now will include 3 members appointed by the mayor.
Can I stop you right there? The task force?
The task force. The flag task force will include 3 members appointed by the mayor, 3 appointed by the Common Council president, 3 appointed by the chair of the Milwaukee Arts Board. Okay. The people's flag design should be resubmitted, but they also want new proposals. After narrowing down 10 finalist flags, the Common Council says it will vote on recommendations by December 31st of this year. Hmm. So let's see how long this takes.
Is there anything in that story about a just putting it to the entirety of the people saying, like, hey, the people of Milwaukee, come vote? Or is this the task force is going to, like, I know there's going to be discussions and whatnot, but really when it comes down to the flag and the flag design, I feel like the people of Milwaukee, one, should have a voice, because if it's the people's flag.
Right.
But also just need more time. Like, we're talking about July, which means it'll probably get started in August, maybe.
It better get going.
That's August, September, October, November, 4 months. I don't know. To me, for one thing, this doesn't need to happen. This is a committee or a commission or a task force?
I know.
Is this, crime? Is this like, we need to get this done now?
To fix concerns about the inclusivity in the process of selecting a flag, the task force would allow submissions to be made both online and in person.
I'm just putting it out right now to John Oliver, because when it comes to flags, you love this sort of thing. And if you could help either shut it all down or make it the funniest thing ever, please do so. I just feel like this is not...
Can send that into last week tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't feel like... And I haven't lived in Milwaukee for a few years, but I know that in my time there, one of the things that really concerned me was never the flag.
Yeah, I don't hear that coming up in a lot of, you know, our neighborhood discussions about what's the number one concern facing residents of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Flag rarely comes up.
No.
Rarely.
No. No, not at
all. Maybe
no.
It'll come up more now.
Housing. That's something we could talk about.
But there's a task force, you guys.
Oh, my gosh.
They're on it.
That's on someone's resume now.
We're on it.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to have detractors and people who are not happy with my opinion on this matter. But hey, if you live in Milwaukee and you have strong feelings about the flag, I want you to pick up your device right now and I want you to text us through the Civic Media app. If you don't have the app, go to the Apple or Google Play Store to get it on your phone right now. It's absolutely free. It's customizable. And that way you can send your opinion straight to us on how you feel about a new flag and its importance to the progress of the city. But I'm not wrong, correct? When you bring in a task force, it feels like this is a pressing problem that needs to be solved immediately. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a curmudgeon about it. Let us know. Text us through the Civic Media app today. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. Have a wonderful Monday. It's 8:59.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief, the pilot of a Delta connection flight with 80 people on board says he swerved to avoid a B-52 bomber jet as he was coming in for a landing in Minot, North Dakota.
He said, turn right. I said, there's an airplane over there. And he says, turn left. And then by the time we read back the clearance, looked over and saw the airplane that was kind of coming on in.
There's a sentencing hearing today for a former Louisville police officer who could get as little as one day in prison in Breonna Taylor's death. CBS's Nicole Valdez.
Taylor's family and their attorney have called this recommendation an insult.
A federal judge hears arguments in Harvard's lawsuit against the Trump administration's freeze on research funding and grants. WBZ-TV's Samantha Cheney.
Harvard, they want a judge to make a ruling on this without going to trial. The university wants the court to cancel the government's freeze on its federal funds and to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.